This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to That Mill Podcast. My name's Omer. Joining me today, I've got Joe Zampa. Hello, mate.
Hi, Omer. How you doing? You all right?
Yeah, very well, thank you. All the better for 3 points on Saturday away at St Mary's, of course. And we've also got Dan Sexton with us. Hello, mate. How are you?
Evening, mate. I'm very well. Head wasn't too good on Sunday, but well worth the cause, I think.
You beat me to the punchline. I was going to go to your house to head on Sunday morning, mate, because you had a few. I did too, but it was a top day out, weren't it, mate?
Oh, it was a brilliant day. One of the best away days we've had. Not quite Plymouth away. I'll get that one in early doors and we won't mention it for the rest of the episode.
Yeah, the new manager bounce was definitely a rife, wasn't it, Joe? I think, obviously, on Saturday, mate, wasn't it?
Oh, it had to be, didn't it, really? I think the anticipation of, like, how's it going to go? Is it going to go the way we hope it to go, or is it going to be an utter complete car crash? But luckily, yeah, he went with the former. And, I can't complain. It's good.
Unbelievable day. Well, if you're tuning to the show and you're new around here, be sure to subscribe and like the video. We do appreciate interaction. So if you've got any thoughts and feedback about what the three of us can come up with today, feel free to reply and we'll do our best to get back to you in the comments. If you like the video, like I said, subscribe, check out our socials at That Mill Pod. We're going to talk a bit about the game. Obviously, I know the guys have done the show previously about that. It was a live show on Sunday night. Be sure to check out if you want more interaction and more views on that. But we're going to go into it. Boys, we're still 1 point above the relegation zone. Dan, I mean, it was a huge win on Saturday, obviously, but, you know, I think when you look at that and you've got the win, it kind of felt as you walked out, like, the crescendo, the big win, but then it was like, here we go, we're still only 1 point above the relegation zone. It proved how important that win was, but also the timing of it was, it just felt kind of, you know, a real big win on Saturday.
Yeah, you kind of took the words out of my mouth there a little bit at the end with that, how important it was given the results. I think most of us thought QPR were going to win at the weekend given their game. Mm-hmm. But then Sheffield Wednesday winning again, a couple of the other teams also in the mix of one. So I think not the concerning thing because it's slightly concerning because we're only 1 point clear, but Sheffield Wednesday very much have now got a chance, whereas I think a lot of people might have written them off. So I think that win really underlines the importance and gives us a bit of momentum now, because I don't want to curse us, I'm probably going to do it now by saying this, but I do think these next three games on paper are fairly winnable games. You've got Watford who are quite out of sorts at the moment, and then you've got Blackburn and Birmingham, two teams that are probably still in that relegation mix at the minute. They can't count themselves out of it completely. So if you can get a couple of wins on the board in the next few games, if you can come out of these next three games with probably 5-6 points, maybe more, then you'd be very happy, I think, with the return.
That's for sure. I mean, Joe, it is quite close, Daniel, isn't it? I mean, we're one win away from being on 39 points, which puts us up 16th potentially with Blackburn. So, you know, there's a chance for us to call them back in next week. I'm not going to get too far ahead. But, you know, you look at the teams down there, and we spoke about it previously on a couple of shows, you know, Blackburn, Swansea, Birmingham. You feel like they're going to pull away potentially. I mean, then you've got Huddersfield, QPR, ourselves, Stoke, Sheffield Wednesday and Rotherham. I mean, Stoke being down there is a shock, but they seem to be out of sorts as well. But, I mean, it's really tight down there. It just proves a few wins and you can pull yourselves out of it. But it's important to pick up the points where you can, obviously, as well.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, down there, you're looking at Rotherham, and it's safe to sort of say, if you're a betting man, they're going to go down, I think. But you're absolutely right, going to what Dan just said. I mean, Sheffield Wednesday putting some results together. Obviously, you've got QPR getting some wins. But what is really sort of encouraging is that there's lots of teams in and around where we are, where we're only kind of a point or so between us all. I think even Birmingham's still sort of in that rut, really, when you think about it. And you've got Stoke in the mix. I think Plymouth won.
Plymouth won at the weekend, but they're only 6 points clear, and then there's a bit of a gap above them. But I think I think they're in 15th or 16th, so it shows there's still a lot of teams in this battle.
Exactly. So from 15th down to sort of 20th, you know, 21, you know, there's lots of sort of games sort of to play for the next sort of few games. And you know, if it does work, and we do hope and pray under Neil Harris that we'll start picking up some results now. You couldn't have picked a better time. I mean, God forbid, like if we had Joe Edwards in charge last Saturday, would we have beaten, you know, Southampton away? Probably not. You know,
I can tell you now, mate. No, we wouldn't have. We'd probably have been placing bets between us of how many we were going to concede. Let's be
honest. I still think he was going to lose on Saturday, but I think it was just the whole occasion, the atmosphere and everything he won, wasn't it, really, Joe? I mean, it was a unity. And I think that came from Harris at the start of the game, didn't it? Where he came over to us and kind of pointed at us to back the players, wasn't it? And it's like the club rolled the dice. I personally thought they might have kept Edwards in for Southampton, to be honest, thinking, let's not put a new manager in for this game. But if you're going to put anyone in for it and get us up for it, it's going to be Harris, weren't it, I suppose?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he is Mr. Motivator, isn't he? You see what he's like with the players that he knows. You see what he's done to the fans. I mean, at 1 minute, you know, the fans couldn't wait to sort of get rid of their tickets for Southampton. Then as soon as Harris was announced, everyone wanted to buy tickets again to get there. And it's a lovely atmosphere. I mean, one of my favourite away days. And yeah, I don't think anyone else other than Neil Harris would have pulled that performance out of the bag. And also gone with a game plan. You know, one thing about Joe Edwards is, yes, everyone talks about how good he is and how good he was as a coach and sort of, you know, the technical side of it, but he never really had a game plan set out for different games. He almost kind of played his way and that was it, and never really tailored it to the opposition. Whereas Neil Harris, you can see everything what he did from the starting 11 to the tactics, and he got it spot on, you know, backed with the supporters and the unity amongst the fans and the players. It was just the whole piece just put together really well, wasn't it?
Definitely. And I mean, I guess we'll talk about obviously Saturday in the main talking point for me. I mean, Dan Jafet Tanganga obviously scored the first goal, got his first goal for the club, and, you know, well timed. Obviously played in the back four, right side centre half. I think it was 14 clearances. That was the most in the game. Danny McNamara was second with 6. I think for me, he was absolutely man mounting on Saturday and obviously got man of the match. I think there was also another article I saw online or another tweet saying he was the highest rated Who Scored player. So obviously WhoScored.com do like their player ratings, and Tanganga was the highest in the division on the weekend. And what a performance from him on Saturday. I mean, new manager obviously brought in by Edwards, and obviously backed Edwards when he came in and said he was a big part of that. But I think with Harris there and simplifying instructions for him, it felt like he just took to it so well on Saturday.
When I heard we were signing Jafet Tanganga, like maybe I set my expectation level a bit high. Maybe a lot of the fans did, because for Tanganga to come to Mill was a high profile signing. But what we saw on Saturday was, I think, kind of what I expected to see from the off, other than the attacking goal. But yeah, defensively, he was absolutely incredible at the weekend. Not much really got past him at all, did it? A fantastic goal, very brave to get up for that. And then also the header off the line as well, when we was just after we'd gone 1-0 up. So shows really, really good defending from him. And, you know, maybe him and Cooper might be the way forward if we're going to stick with back four. Obviously, yeah. I think Hutchinson might have something to say, because he's rumoured to be back in training, might be available for selection soon. So I think he might have something to say when he's back fit. But really, really impressed by Jafet. And as you said, maybe just simplifying the tactics. He's probably still a little bit rusty. So rather than trying to play the ball around, maybe just sending him to get the ball forward a bit quicker might have just helped him a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, Joe, obviously Tanganga, but obviously on the back of that as well, back to a 4-4 fucking two, as the saying goes. And it was back to basics, wasn't it, on Saturday, mate? What did you think?
I agree with you. I mean, mate, I know you long enough, and I know you love a 4-4 fucking two, don't you? So you finally got your wish after all these years. But yeah, I mean, in some ways, it did simplify it, as to Dan's point. But what it also did, I think Tanganga complimented Cooper. We all know Cooper's strengths, but he also has his limitations, which were out for show under the Joe Edwards regime. 4-4-2, you know, we're very, very compact at the back. We're asking our defenders to do one thing, that was to defend. We weren't asking them to be clever and try and play the ball out from the back or anything. And we're playing to Cooper's strengths. And suddenly, I was talking to a couple of mates there watching the game that, yeah, suddenly Cooper looks like the defender, the player we've always known to be, you know, and we love. And it's such a shame because in the last, you know, how many games under Joe Edwards, everyone's been sort of giving him a lot of shit, me included, saying about how limited he is in his football ability. And it's made him look really bad, where suddenly he looked really good. And I think having Jaffet next to him, with that pace, that athleticism, it gave him confidence. It allowed him to do what he did well. And I think he was very, very well. I think it wasn't for the fact that, you know, Tanganga had done so well, it kind of overshadowed Cooper's performance a little bit, but he put some crucial tackles in, put some good headers in, and I thought it was very, very effective. And I think the whole back four played superbly well.
Definitely. I mean, then obviously on the back of that, I mean, it's, I suppose you tell a defender to defend who's notoriously 6'7", big, and knows how to defend his 6-yard box, 18-yard box, he's going to do it, isn't he? And I mean, you look at the stats from the weekend. I mean, the main talking point everyone's talking about is possession, and you know, 80% possession for Southampton and 20% for us. Some of them reporting it was 19% for us. Depends where you get your stats from. But when you deep that, when you get it through everything else, I mean, I think if you go for XG, which is the modern day stat, 1.42 for Southampton, 1.28 for us. It was a fair game. There weren't much in it. It felt like, in a weird way. And I think sitting deep, and you know, that's the kind of the mantra to do. Obviously, in times against adversity, you know, you look for that result, but you know, players like Cooper thrive on that, don't they? I suppose, and we've always known that. I feel like,
Sorry, Dan, are you going?
Sorry, mate. I was just going to say, I didn't think Southampton were all that good, to be honest. A lot of the ball, as we just said, but didn't really seem to have a plan B. Even really late on, they didn't. They were trying, even then, not to play it too direct into the box, which is a bit weird. Maybe a team more of individuals than an actual team itself. Because you know the quality a lot of them players have got. It probably should be in the Premier League, a large portion of them. So, yeah, but classic Mill performance, that really, wasn't it? Really enjoyed watching it. Felt like I was watching my club again. I did have something else intelligent I wanted to say, but I completely forgot. So, Joe, over to you, mate.
Yeah, so, again, I think any team looking at Mill, especially the way we're set up at the moment, will see big Jake Cooper in the middle of that defence. And the last thing you're going to want to do is go direct or go long, unless you've got a massive centre-forward that can compete with Jake Cooper. So, I think even it was telling when Southampton had free kicks in fairly deep positions, it was quite interesting. They didn't try and pump the ball into the box. They would often play a very short pass to keep possession again. And go back to Omar's point, you look at the XG, you know, it was very, very sort of similar, albeit they had a lot more possession. But having all that possession is great if you do something with it. But obviously, the way we're set up, they couldn't break us down. And what was even good, even better for us, was that if you got all that possession, you can't break us down through our defence. You normally take some pot shots from the edge of the box, things like that. But our midfield four, and I'll call it a four because it did feel like it was a four, closed them down superbly. You know, you look at Longman, you look at Saville, you look at Mitchell, and you look at Honeyman. The four of them worked their asses off. And they were playing across that midfield four and basically pressing them every single time, not giving them the space to take any pot shots. And that was the only way they're probably going to score against us and Sarkic making an error. But no, you know, I think we did really well. It was a game plan set out really, really well. And I think having that height in the box of Cooper, we're now playing to our strengths rather than putting, you know, square pegs in round holes then.
Obviously, I don't know where you boys got to that, sorry, because I just dropped out for a split second. They're as professional as we are. But I think when you look at, so obviously we're talking about the statistics there, but I mean, I think Joe is fair to say, I mean, you say I'm a 4-4-2 fan, and I am, because I think a Mill team needs two wingers and two strikers, and you're going to fit them into the team, it's going to be a 4-4-2. I think it's fair to say you're probably someone that likes to play, likes to see football played the modern way. I think that's fair to say from how it's from when we spoke in the past. I guess that they've kind of highlighted that, isn't it? You've got the yin and yang, haven't you, of 80% possession, Russell Martin at the end fuming because his team haven't won and thinks they've played the most purest way of playing football. But I think that highlighted Saturday, like, so sometimes in football, we don't need to overcomplicate things, I feel like. And with Joe Edwards, I felt like, you know, he was trying to reinvent things a bit. I don't think he was making too drastic changes, and that was something that the criticism he got when he went after last week. But I think it kind of highlights and kind of, you know, magnifies the point that football is just a game of 11v11, and how you play it, you work to your advantages and what your strengths are on your team, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, football is a very, very simple game. You know, at the end of the day, you've got 11 players on each side of the pitch, and of course, you've got to put the ball back in the net. I think, you know, if you've got the yin and the yang, you look at Rowett, and I hate using Rowett's name, bringing him up all the time, but you've got to make comparisons, sadly. And he was very, very effective, wasn't he, with results. Mm. But I just hated watching the football, especially at home. You know, I used to fall asleep. I thought, you know, I can't even be bothered to even come and watch this, you know. Under Joe Edwards, yes, the results wasn't there, but there was moments of great football. The trick is you want to, of course you do, you want to kind of play good football and get results to go with it. Now, if I was a Southampton fan watching that on Saturday, you know, for all their possession, for all their lovely passes and stuff, yeah, I'll be a little bit pissed off. On to complement that, you know, I don't want to spend, you know, every game playing behind the ball defensively and doing a rabbit thing. But I'm hoping against Watford at home, we'll probably come out of our traps a bit more and less sort of defensive. So I guess it depends who we play against. We've got to sort of tailor the way you set up and play. But, you know, 4-4-2 is always exciting, I guess. If you go a bit direct, you're going to create more chances in the box. We want to see more chances created and hopefully it'll lead to more goals.
Absolutely. Dan, anything to add on that just briefly?
Yeah, I've when you dropped out, I had something clever in my head to say, and then I said I've forgotten it, unsurprisingly. But I just remember the clever thing that I wanted to say. That was the first game this season where we've conceded a goal and won the game. It's also been the first time this season, so someone feel free to correct me if I'm wrong, where we've came back from behind to win a game. In fact, it's probably one of the first times we've actually came from behind this season to even get a point out of a game.
Took a 1-0 lead on Saturday, Dan.
Yeah, but then we got pegged back, didn't we? Okay, to 1-1.
Cool. Right, yeah.
Not fell behind, but like we got pegged back, didn't we? So, I mean, like the only other time I can think of, like when we went down or something like that and then went on to win the game was Hull at home earlier this season with the 2-2 draw. I can't really think of too many others. And we banged, I kept banging on, certainly from my perspective. I think a couple of other people agreed with me about the mentality of this group being really weak and really poor. But then, you know, we go and put Mr. Motivator in charge and there's clearly been some kind of mentality change. Let's just hope it wasn't a one game. Let's hope that's a permanent mentality switch that this team is a good team and can do good things.
That definitely, I think, Joe, that is it, the Neil Harris effect, isn't it? I mean, we love him, obviously, prior to the game. What was your first thoughts when he came in? Obviously, Harris being appointed. I mean, it feels like a roll of the dice. But also, you know, some of the things we're saying there, it is a battle at the moment. And, you know, hopefully on Saturday, we do come out a bit more on the front foot. But at the moment, it's just picking up wins, isn't it? 4 wins and maybe a draw, and we're going to be safe. You know, and there's 12 games to go. And that's his mantra, isn't it? He keeps saying it in press conferences. And that's all he's got to deliver on at the moment for him.
My emotions were all over the place when it was announced. You know, 1 minute I was kind of for it, against it, then back for it again. Initially, I think my first thought was like, what are we doing? I'm sure a lot of the fan base thought the same thing. Why are we going backwards? You know, why are we looking at Neil Harris? It's not the evolution that we're all kind of hoping for or talking about for God knows how long, you know. But then suddenly, once I kind of calmed down and dust settled a little bit, I realised, actually, you know what? There's not a lot of, you know, good managers out there to kind of get us out of where we are at the moment. We knew we had to change something. We couldn't change the players. The only thing we could change was the manager. Mm-hmm. And the fact that Neil Harris was willing to come back and do that for us, I think he was the best person. Well, I thought he was the best person for the job. When you look at the short-term changes and what we're trying to achieve, and ultimately in the short term is survival, we're not even thinking long-term anymore, then I think there's no one better than Neil Harris going to come in, galvanise the troops, motivate the players and get them out there and getting that, like you say, hopefully 4 wins to give us the safety. My only concern is now the longevity. And I shouldn't be thinking that far ahead at the moment because I should be thinking purely on survival still. But you do have that question mark in the back of your head thinking, where do we go with this? If we stay we stay up with Neil Harris, what happens in the summer? Is he going to get a budget? If he does get a budget to buy players, what sort of players is he going to buy? Are we actually going to, you know, grow forward? In some ways, you kind of want to bring Joe Edwards back in the summer for him to build his team and carry on what the work he wants to do in the first place, you know?
I don't mind going back to the Edwards maybe style, but I can't get on board with this let's bring Joe Edwards back, regardless of however you want to look at it, whether you, the stats don't lie. He won 4 games in 19 games. Mm. And one of them was his first game. And then went so... and. Like, I just don't get why he changed it. Obviously, we had that good run over Christmas. But, yeah, I'm just confused.
He tried to have a down, didn't he? I think he tried to have a down on what he believed in and ultimately paid the price for it, didn't he, I feel like.
Yeah, I'm just a bit... I don't know whether you're being serious or joking, Joe. I've seen a couple of people say it like in terms of bringing back, but I wouldn't mind going down the style of like another manager like that and giving the chance to build a squad like that, because if you actually do your interviews properly, there is good young coaches out there like Kieran McKenna who can come in, build a squad, take that squad very far and play decent football while they're at it as well. But Joe, it just didn't happen for Joe Edwards, so I can't see the appeal of getting him back.
With regards to Joe Edwards, I can see what he was trying to do. I think a lot of people can see what he was trying to do. Whether that was naivety or inexperience or stubbornness, no one really knows. But yeah, when you play it back, what he needed to do was do what Neil Harris done. You forget about you want to play this attractive football. Just keep it very compact, keep it very defensive, at least until the end of the season. And then if you really, really feel strongly about it, you want to change your team, then yes, there's a lot of players that have to go out and you've got to bring a lot of players in if you want to implement your style. The trouble with Joe Edwards, he was trying to play a style of football, as we all know, that weren't suited to the players. And I think the only person you can blame then really is him. But again, is it because he's young? Is it because he's inexperienced? Probably a bit of everything, really, you know?
He's never been a dogfighter before, has he? That's for sure. I mean, you mentioned obviously Neil Harris there, Joe. I think just challenge that one. He said in his first interview when he got appointed as head coach again, he feels like he's evolved as a manager. So, like, obviously, I get what you're trying to get at with that, and obviously the kind of coaching, young coach that you both are talking about there and not being against. I personally think you need to be a certain type of character to succeed at Millwall, firstly, and that goes from the top. So you need the manager to drum that into the players. And I think that's what we got on Saturday. Hopefully we get the same on this Saturday coming up. You need to be a certain character. Harris is that. That's a fact. He bleeds blue. Do you know what I mean? And I think I truly believe that. But do you think he has evolved? I think, you know, when I watched that on Saturday, a bit more tactical now. I don't think it was luck on Saturday. I think he had a game plan. And he also said he'd done the same plan when he was Gillingham manager at Southampton. So maybe he's a bit more time in the job. I remember it was his first role for us when he came in and his first job in management. Maybe there is a sense that he's evolved a bit more game to game and a bit more in-game management.
Yeah, I think it's a whole heap of things, really. I mean, you're right in saying that. I think he has evolved. I think tactically he's evolved. I think, more importantly, I think his people skills, you know, with things we don't particularly see. So his one-to-one conversations probably having with players at the moment, he probably knows where he went wrong or where he went well in the past. So all these things are fundamental to being a good manager or a good head coach, whatever you want to call him. So I think he's learnt a lot. And sometimes through adversity, it makes you a better coach. And when you've had some difficult times or, you know, tough times, you learn to come back from that and come back, you know, positively and put the wrongs right a little bit. So, yeah, I think the experience of him being away has definitely improved him as a manager. And I know we can't judge him just on one game, but certainly when we look at the effort and the performance, you can't really fault the game plan. The trick is, can he, without being too negative, can he do that again on Saturday against Watford? Because if he falls short against Watford at home, suddenly the question marks will be back out again. If he gets a result against Watford, then everyone will be right behind him saying, you know what, this is the best decision the club's made. Dan?
Yeah, I was about to say, sorry for everyone who's watching, stroke listening. It appears Omar is still having internet issues. So apologies from that Millwall podcast HQ. Hopefully we'll be back with us shortly. I mean, there is pressure on us, especially at home at the moment, isn't there? Because the home form hasn't been good. It's looking like it's going to be another big crowd at the Den this weekend as well. But you can understand the appeal. I'm hoping this weekend that if it is going to be a sellout or at least a very good crowd, I'm hoping there's going to be more Millwall fans there in terms of Millwall fans that maybe haven't been too inspired to go recently. Either watching Gary Rowett's football or because it was a bit sad to watch sometimes under Joe Edwards.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And obviously that Sheffield Wednesday game was horrible and toxic. I'm hoping there's a lot of people who weren't at some of these games who are going to come back and we're going to have hopefully a proper Millwall atmosphere for arguably the first time maybe since Harris left that we're going to create maybe what is going to be a proper Millwall atmosphere. I mean, I remember it a couple of times under Rowett and the Charlton game quite early on and in the Palace Cup game, but never really sustained under Rowett, did it? So we kind of need to sustain it to the end of the season. So hopefully it's going to be a big crowd and a good atmosphere at the weekend.
I want to come back to Saturday, and we will do in a minute. I had a great segue to do there, then my Chrome crashed on me, so I blame that.
I'm glad it wasn't me you're getting bored of then. I won't take it personally then. we had enough and went off.
Good for you, I work in IT, because this has played up on me, but you know, we're having a professional there anyway. But what I wanted to come to actually, because I think you mentioned obviously about, oh, I've had a good segue, it's not going to work now anyway, but if we lost on Saturday, you know, we just had to bring a new manager in, because the new manager bounced on the away games. We've been spoilt with it with Sheffield Wednesday and obviously the game on Saturday just gone. I thought it'd be quite funny to compare the two games, obviously, when we came in. Obviously, 4-0 at Sheffield Wednesday, 2-1 win on Saturday. I mean, was hoping to get a result at Sheffield Wednesday. We won 4-0, remarkable. And then, obviously, we've outdone ourselves on Saturday with a 2-1 win away at Southampton, who were high-flying, albeit on a bit of a kind of broken period, it feels like, I admit, for them in hindsight. I mean, one question I wanted to put to you, though, is in both games, we've actually got a higher... despite scoring four goals against Sheffield Wednesday, we had a higher XG on the weekend. Is that purely because of the penalty, do you think? I was trying to think about it earlier. It must, because penalty is worth 0.8 XG, isn't it, I think?
Yeah, it's about 0.75, I think it's worth. So it's obviously contributed a decent amount to it, yeah.
It's an interesting thing, because I was reading it, I was like, how have we got more XG in that game than we did against Sheffield Wednesday? But also, what was more interesting is that Sheffield Wednesday had higher XG against us than as opposed to Southampton. So it's funny when you look at them games, isn't it, Joe? Like, as a comparison, like, you see them as a whole, like, you felt like Sheffield Wednesday was not going to lose that game, whereas at Southampton, if it was oddly more in control but not having as much of the ball. It's a bit of a weird contrast there.
Like the once great Sir Jimmy Greaves once said, it's a funny old game, isn't it, football, unfortunately. And you know, you're right. I remember that game. If you think back to that Sheffield Wednesday game, you know, there were so many end-to-end sort of chances. That game was so open. Mm-hmm. If I remember the first 15, 20 minutes, Sheffield Wednesday could have scored three goals against us. If it wasn't for their bad finishing, they could have easily been sort of 2-0 up with ease. And of course, there are leaving gaps behind, which we exploited. And luckily, we managed to score from our chances. So that was a very open game. The game against Saturday was a very different game altogether. And maybe the chances we did create were a little bit, I won't say clear cut, but they're certainly a little bit more, you know, more for us. And maybe that's why. And I think, again, for all their possession, I know we touched on about it earlier, they couldn't reopen us up, could they, Southampton? You know, it was very, very frustrating for them. They didn't have the aerial presence in the box to even pump balls in to give to hurt us. So, yeah, I think, you know, the XG is probably telling. It shows, you know, we were obviously in control and we weren't really in any sort of real difficulty except for giving up possession, which we gladly did because they didn't hurt us.
I think whilst I'm reliving this, Dan, I think in the weirdest way possible, like, Saturday was less individual brilliance. It was more... This is a team performance, isn't it? And I think that's the one thing I'll take from that the most when I was thinking comparing the two. Because obviously, you know, the Sheffield Wednesday game, Norton Coffey's brilliant, Saville scoring from range. Whereas you think about Saturday, a set piece and a penalty. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's a funny old game, as you say there, Joe, but like, that's football, isn't it? Don't overcomplicate it, Dan, isn't it? It's like, just be effective at what you're good at. And I can't really find that in, isn't it? It's like, that's what Harris is going to bring us. Be effective.
We know this team. We know this team has its limitations. It's about trying to find your way around them limitations. And we know Neil's definitely going to find ways to maximise what he has from this squad and try and paper over the limitations that it does have. I mean, obviously, as Joe said, maybe you are a little bit wary long-term in terms of the summer and signings and stuff like that, in terms of what Harris is going to do. Maybe we'll get a bit more of a steer. Obviously, as you said, Omri thinks he's evolved as a coach, as a manager. I guess we'll see, won't we? When the end of the season rolls around, we'll see by what division we're in and what players he's looking to sign.
Here we go then. Two big away day wins, two different games. First game for both managers. Five players started both games. Who wants to go first? Give me a player each. I don't think you're going to... I think you'll probably get two of these. It surprised me. It shows how much there's change of injuries and stuff and how players are in and out, which is also, you know, it's an unfortunate thing for Edwards, I suppose, when you look back here.
But I reckon I can name four.
Can I go first then? Because Dan, you probably get more right than I will.
How many do you reckon you can name?
I reckon I could name...
I can get four, I'm pretty confident.
Four, I'm going to go for four as well.
Oh, then you go.
Okay, so I'm going to go for Cooper.
Okay, that's correct. Dan, you go for one? You go for one, Dan?
Oh, do you want me to go for one? Fleming.
Correct, Cooper and Fleming both started the games.
Saville, how can you not...
Yeah.
That won the goal he scored.
Saville, yeah, correct. Dan?
Longman.
Yes, Longman's the rogue one. I didn't forget anyone would get. And then there's one more, Joe.
Who I was going to say Honeyman.
Correct. Oh, well done, boys.
Oh, well, I'm going to have a pat on the back there, Dan. Brilliant. Surprise myself sometimes.
It's only a 3 months difference there. And albeit we signed a couple of players in January, obviously Tanganga and Obafemi both started on Saturday. But it's hot, you know, obviously Bartles in goal at the time at Sheffield West. We've not really had a settled level all season, have we? And I think that's something I think Joe that highlights. That's why I feel for Edwards a bit, because injuries and obviously players in and out of the side. And, you know, Leonard, obviously, I think he was a sub that day at Sheffield Wednesday, but I thought he was brilliant on the weekend. And, you know, I think it's having that settled 11 between now and the end of the season. And hopefully we get that, really, is what I'm trying to get out of there, because it's important for us to, you know, kind of push on now.
I think it's going to be very difficult to sort of plan ahead now, because you kind of question what's Neil Harris's next move now. The first move was very, very bold to drop the likes of, you know, Norton Cuffey on the bench, Casper Denora on the bench. You know, all the players you associate have been very skillful, Flair, Maku, Esse, etc. And I mean, Esse played quite a lot under Edwards towards the end, as we all know. So he went with the players that he knew was going to work hardest and probably be quite defensive and carry out the game plan. And to be fair, it worked. The question is he going to carry this on for the rest of the season, or is he going to be bold again and go the other way when we're at home, for example, and maybe play Casper instead of Saville or Mitchell, or maybe start with Norton Cuffey as opposed to Honeyman and go for it a bit more at home? We don't know. But I guess this Saturday will be telling to see how he's going to plan it, whether it's going to be just a game-by-game decision or whether he's actually got this planned for the rest of the season, in which case, if he does stick with the first game, then you'll be seeing the same players playing week in, week out, if they're fit and available, of course.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Dan, on that, just comparing the two games there, Fleming was up front, or the second forward in a sense, in both games. And I thought on Saturday, I thought he was brilliant. His work rate, but also his desire and, you know, determination. I think the club's put a bit of social stuff out this week, a couple of posts here or there, and they've been quite good content, and it's been well received, because obviously we've won a game on a Saturday and got a good result. But there's also another video I think that the 72 did on YouTube. Fleming seems the right character amongst these players. And it surprised me, Dan. But on Saturday, I thought he was brilliant. But also, he kind of strikes me as a leader in a weird way, Fleming, despite being only 23, 24. But I think he's got a big part to play between now and the end of the season, Fleming.
Oh, he does, 100%. 100%. No, he hasn't quite had the success he had this season from last season. But he's still a quality player. I would still say, to be honest, he's our best player in terms of, I think if you're putting market value on players that are on a permanent contract at the club, he's the one who's got the highest market value by far. And as I said, I think putting him on the wing under Edwards, which what Edwards constantly did, he was always limiting his game. We've seen it so many times under Rowett and under Edwards. I just couldn't for the life of me understand why they kept playing him on the wing. If you want to play a formation without a number 10, which is what they both wanted to do, that man still has to be in your team. He has to be up front. I thought he was brilliant on Saturday. And yeah, as you said, worked really, really hard. I don't think, to be honest, I could ever really question his work rate or his attitude for the last few weeks, to be honest. I think they've been spot on for the last few weeks. Probably did have his head turned in the summer a little bit. Then kind of got his head down, and then has probably looked at the league table come January, maybe gone, oh, well, hang on, we're in a bit of a situation here. He's used to being in this situation. He was with it, done it at Sittard. Hopefully it doesn't come down to him getting having to score and clear one off the line on the final day of the season to keep us up. But it'd be nice to keep us entertained until the final game of the season, at least, even if slightly nervous.
I mean, Joe, obviously on that, but you mentioned the Flair players being out the side. I think we know what Fleming is. I think, ironically, probably last season, I would have said he's a bit of a flair player. He's effective what he does, but I think this season it's kind of changed a bit. And obviously, the team's not doing as well, but it was more individual brilliance. So, in hindsight, I don't think Fleming is a flair player, I don't think. I kind of still undecided on that fact. But my point is, like, the outsiders would say, oh, Fleming's a flair player. He probably would come out the side too. But if anything, I think he highlighted his importance on the weekend that, you know, he will lead us up front. And he will be a vocal point for us, which we're crying out for.
I think firstly and foremost, he's a technical gifted player, isn't he? I mean, we see his touch, his passing, his shooting. When he wants to kind of get in those areas, he can be very, very effective. Some players, like sort of SA and maybe, you know, one or two others, they can do little step overs, little tricks and flicks, but there's not really often a lot of end product. With Fleming, I think he is a kind of very well kind of manufactured player, in a sense that he's very effective in what he does. You know, he hasn't got loads of pace or loads of you know, I guess, yeah, speed, if you like, on the ball. He's dribbling. He doesn't really dribble the ball often, you know, apart from that goal against Stoke, I think, last season, which I think he took it from the halfway line, which looked quite good. But he is somebody who is good on the eye, but he's also very effective. He draws players in, and he's very, very intelligent, Fleming. You see him, he'll bring a ball in, and he knows where the players are around him, and he's very good at sort of linking play up. Sometimes we may have one or two players next to him that are not as technically gifted, say, as he is, and the move can quite often break down, and it almost did quite often under Joe Edwards when he was trying to play a little passing game, one or two players. But, for example, on Saturday, he showed his quality, but more importantly, he showed his work rate, his work effort. There was a moment, there was a chance when we were trying to catch him on the counter-attack, and he was out on the right wing, and the ball fell to him with Obafemi making a run into the middle. I don't even remember that, but in some ways, you kind of wish it was the other way around. You wish it was Obafemi receiving that ball, Fleming making a run into the box and letting Obafemi run past the defender and getting the cross in, you know? I think those two can work really, really well. Obviously, it's the first time they've really kind of played together in this kind of 4-4-2 formation. So we just need to make sure that they can play more regularly together, and hopefully they'll get an understanding and work it out too. So I'm sure they will. But yeah, he's definitely on fire.
That's what I was going to say as well with regards to that partnership up top, because you saw it, I'm sure we've all watched it back, but the penalty incident, the cross was like pulled back. I think it was Leonard who put it in, and Obafemi pretty much took it off Fleming's toe just as Fleming was about to take control of it. So, you know, we saw flashes of it. I think there's a lot more to come from them two, and I think if we keep them two fit and can get them two firing, I do think we'll be absolutely fine. I think we'll stay if we can get them two going.
Definitely. I think for me, though, I think I said it on Saturday leading up to the game on the way up. I think what I was getting at, and I think it kind of showed on Saturday, we're guaranteed hard work now, but I think we've got individual brilliance in this side that will show through, a bit like it did last season. I think the hard work will reward it, but the individual brilliance will come and decide games for us at crucial moments, Joe. And I think that's something that not every team will have in this division that's down at the bottom. I think we've got the quality there. It might be stifled a bit, you know, the flair players out the side, but there is still quality in these players that will produce when the moment comes to them, I feel like.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, again, we mentioned Fleming there just now. He's definitely one that's top of the list. You then got players like Obafemi that I think, you know, given a bit more game time and we'll get him back to the fitness where he needs to get to, we'll see a lot more of him. At the moment, unfortunately, he isn't match fit. He came back from an illness, if you believe what the rumours were, you know, accurate, and he didn't look at the race at all, really. He looked really, really out of breath off sort of 10-15 minutes. Hence the reason why he went off at half time. So he will come good. You've then got likes of Honeyman, who's got a bit of ability and a bit of skill in him as well. And there are other players that could come in, like, as we said, who can offer us a lot technically. I think at the moment, you know, again, go back to the Harris tactics, we are looking for players to make sacrifices. I feel really bad for people like Honeyman, for example, who probably has had his best time in a Millwall shirt playing in centre midfield for us. And he's been asked to kind of play out on the right again on the last game. Whether that's going to be an ongoing thing or it's just going to be a one-off, who knows? But I can't help but feel that that's where he's going to play. But luckily, we saw him do a job for us. You know, he probably wasn't getting on the ball as much as he would like to, playing in the centre of the park, but he was very, very effective for us there. And I'm sure he'll be a regular under Harris.
I think if you remember this well, the spell last season when we won that Stoke away, for example, Fleming scored that goal. Honeyman was on the right hand side, and I thought it was phenomenal that day. I mean, it's a memory I got in my head from being up there at the time. And I think he's the kind of character, isn't he? I think Dan, where Honeyman will just get on with the job, and I think you need players like that obviously at this time in need, and that's why Harris has turned them sort of players I was saying about there. But he's that kind of character that'll just get on with it, I feel like. And we'll move to Saturday, Dan, but I don't foresee many changes either. I think when you think about the side from last week,
no, I don't think there'll be many. He might. If there was one, I'd maybe be thinking about making it. We'd maybe be bringing Norton Cuffey in for Longman, just because I think we're at a home game. You probably want a bit more pace for when you go on the attack. And I think Cuffey can also bring kind of the defensive work rate that Longman was bringing. So if that's a change that we could be making. But other than that, to be honest, if Obafemi's all good, because obviously he said he took Obafemi off at half-time, said there wasn't an injury involved, just trying to build up his fitness a little bit. If he's good to go, I don't really see a reason that we should be making too many changes, to be honest. I thought the defence was a very solid outlook on Saturday, and midfield worked well. As we know, Saville always works hard. Billy had a good game, credit to him as well. So I don't see the need to make too many changes.
I mean, going back to that game plan, it was quite restricted. We were asking our players to defend a lot. Obviously, the possession stats showed us that. But what you've got to remember as well is those players can play on the front foot. I always remember Honeyman. The first time I saw him was when he was playing for Hull against us. I watched him at the Den. And he actually played on the right-hand side that day for Hull. Okay, albeit a little bit more further forward. But he looked by far the best player on the pitch. And he wasn't necessarily the hard-working player off the ball. He was just so good on the ball. Like, his dribbling skills, his feet was like left foot, right foot. He was making things happen. He was playing little one-twos, playing around the corner, creating chances. I think he even scored against us as well. You know, he was by far the best player on the pitch. But obviously, if you're asking these players to do a job, you're then limiting their attacking creativity. Longman, another player, you know, he can do the attacking side of it quite well. He loves the little step overs and cutting onto his right foot and taking little shots into the top corner. But what was so good to see on Saturday is we're asking these players to be so disciplined. And when you watch the way they're communicating with each other, you see Longman and Matt Namora constantly talking to each other, pointing to each other where they should go. Same thing with Honeyman and Leonard. They were communicating throughout the game. And there's a real good understanding amongst and communication amongst that team that, you know, I just felt that the players, yes, we're asked to do a defensive job, but I think they can still do the attacking job if we're playing against the right position.
Definitely agree with you there. Come on then, I think you guys talked about it a little bit earlier, but the Den's waiting for us on Saturday. It's probably going to be a sellout. I mean, the excitement must be building for you, Dan. I mean, it's obviously, you mentioned it, I think, earlier when I dropped out there, but we need to get the hoodoo off our back, turn the Den back into the fortress that it once was. And I think loads of times under Rowett and even under Edwards, the amount of times we had them sellouts, I'd be walking out of the Den afterwards thinking when we lost or drew, Harris would have won that game for us if he was in charge. I'm getting my answer on Saturday. I think it'll be a sellout. And even if it's not, and it's close to it, a Neil Harris Den, you know, we played Watford in the Cup a few years ago. Morrison scored that goal. I think we won 2-0, I remember, in the FA Cup. 1-0, there you go. I remember Ferguson put the ball in for example, anyway. But is it, you know, this is a Neil Harris Millwall team going at the Den at close to full capacity. What more do you want as a Millwall fan turn up on Saturday?
Yeah, that's it. I finally feel like, to be honest, that maybe other than the Coventry game, that was obviously one of the games I was looking forward to. Bristol City for obvious reasons. And then Coventry, because it was Edwards' first home game. Other than that, I don't think I've been looking forward to a home game as much as this season. So really, really looking forward to it. Looking forward to getting back down the Den. We know it's going to be a good crowd. We need to get behind the boys. As we started with at the start of this show, we know that we're still very much in it because of the results at the weekend. And as I said, Watford, they're a bit out of sorts at the minute. I think they've only won about one game in 8 or 9. There's all kinds of rumours that they might sack their manager, which is obviously nothing new for Watford. I don't think they're going to do it because they probably would have done it by now, but we could put the final nail in the coffin.
Yeah, that's it for sure. I mean, Joe, like Dan saying, Watford a bit out of sorts at the moment. Neil Harris back at the Den for the first time in the dugout, in the home dugout for 5 years. Showtime, right?
Oh, I do hope so. I mean, I've got a mate of mine who's a Watford fan, and for the last sort of few years, we've always had kind of the better of them. You know, we've always sort of beat them home and away, I think, the season before. We drew at their ground earlier this season, and I think they're desperate to beat us. However, as Dan said there, their manager's going through a bit of a difficult time. I think, to be fair, I thought he might get sacked a couple of days ago.
I'm surprised he didn't get sacked after 5 games this season, mate.
I know, he's probably one of their longest serving managers the last 10 years. But
He was actually, because he got appointed in the summer, so he had 3 months before he actually started the league game. So he was already like a stupidly high up their longest serving manager list.
Yeah. Already he's overstayed his welcome, isn't he? So I was really hoping and planning and praying that he will be there in charge on Saturday, because, you know, you just know what it's like when... We did it ourselves twice, as Omar said earlier. You get a new manager and suddenly you get that bounce back again. You get that sense of motivation. At the moment, Watford fans, going by what my friend said, they're not happy with the manager, not happy with the team, the way the team are playing. The players are playing terribly. So it couldn't happen a better time for us to have him at home. With Neil Harris in charge, first home game, all the fans behind him singing Super Neil Harris. You know, I just hope and pray that we get off to a good start, get our noses in front. And then, get them on a counter, maybe score 2 or 3. But it's a massive, massive game. It's a great opportunity for us. And it's a winnable game. That's how we've got to take it to them now, you know?
Definitely. Credit to Phil Clark. I saw this on Twitter earlier today, so I thought I'd read it out. He's lifted it from a Watford forum. I don't know if you boys saw this, but it was from a Watford forum. And it's a segment of a post They beat Southampton away with a performance that Harris proudly described as typically Millwall. As he infused his players with belief in anti-football, no one likes us and we don't care belief, complete with the injuring of opposition players. They'll be fully charged for this at the Den. With the crowd welcoming Harris back, this is the new manager effect on steroids. No chance of any kind of result here. 2-0 to them, with Hamer keeping the score down and Asprilla stretched off injured. Sorry, absolutely nothing to anticipate of any joy here. Nothing. If you thought Saturday was bad, .. I mean, Watford fans are dreading it. And that's what you want. That's what you want teams to be thinking when they come to Den, isn't it, Joe? Like, that's the Millwall I know and the Millwall I'm excited about, really, because that's one result. And I'm not getting too carried away here because I know how this works. The excitement, the pressure and the building up of it. We lose on Saturday and get outclassed. But it feels different going to Saturday, and I hope it is. But they're dreading it. We've got to capitalise on that, ain't we? God knows what their players are thinking.
Well, we've seen, you know, I've seen, and Dan, we've seen Millwall long enough in our lives to know the good, the bad, the ugly, and how we can play. And I think on Saturday, we saw glimpses of what Neil Harris wants these set of boys to do. And there was that little bit of nastiness about them. You can see the tackles there. There's a slight bit more aggression in those tackles. You know, there were small little bits of shithousery, like hoping that no one's listening to this. But you saw Danny McNamara, for example, tripping one of their players before they went for a throw-in, you know, and it got unnoticed. The referee didn't see it, you know, and the player went down or whatever. But what Neil Harris...
I just get a free match ban, mate.
Yeah, I know. I might cut that bit out, actually, Omar. But the point I'm making is Neil Harris... He's probably had a word with the players and said, listen, let's be horrible bastards. Let's be horrible to play against. Let's be nasty. We've been too nice for too long. I think I said on a previous show, under Neil Harris, I remember we were always getting yellow cards. We were always getting your players sent off. And then when Rowett came in, we became, I think, one of the stats we had at the end of the season, the first season under Rowett, was we had the least amount of yellow cards. Mm. That just shows the way he was playing. He was playing with, like, really, really passively. He wasn't playing with any real aggression. And then that kind of continued under the Joe Edwards sort of helm. So with Neil Harris coming back, I think he took one look at us thinking, you know what, guys, you're too fucking easy to play against. Let's be fucking horrible. Let's be aggressive. Let's be direct. Let's get in there. And you saw...
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
For that, you saw glimpses of that on Saturday, and there's no team better for us to do that to is someone like Watford, who's got loads of international foreign players who don't like it rough. They want to play their football. And then the last thing they want to have is people like, you know, Ryan Leonard, Danny McNamara and Cooper going through them, you know. So, yeah, I'm quietly confident. Yeah, we need a bit of luck on our side, of course we do. But you make your own luck, didn't you, at times? And hopefully we'll get our noses ahead and we won't look back.
On the back of that, Dan, I think we're ready for prediction time. So I'm going to come to you first, mate. I mean, I'm hyped. I'm ready to go. I'm trying to not get too carried away with my prediction that's coming out in a minute. But what's your thoughts going into Saturday, Dan? And what's the score going to be, mate?
Looking forward to it. I think it's going to be good. Hopefully, as I said, good atmosphere. After all this positivity on this show and seeing what Watford fans predicted, 1-0 Watford.
Yes.
I'm only joking. No.
Next to Dan.
He's back.
In all seriousness, I'm going to go for a 3. I'm going to go bold. 3-0 Millwall. 3-0
Millwall. Love it.
Ooh, I mean, we did him 3-0 last season at home, so why not again?
Cooper's yet to score a goal this season too, Dan.
Oh, yeah, £5 going on that before the game.
Go on, Joe. What's your prediction, mate, for Saturday? What's the score going to be?
Well, the last two games, I guess one prediction right and one was, like, really, really badly wrong. So I thought we were going to beat Sheffield Wednesday 3-0. Obviously, that wasn't the case. We ended up losing 2-0. But I actually predicted that we were going to win... No, sorry, I tell a lie. I said we were going to draw 2-2 against Southampton. I wasn't going for 2-1 for a win, but I thought, no, we probably won't win it, so we'll go for 2-2. So I was close to it. So I think I'll get this prediction right this time. Third time lucky. And I'm going to go for Millwall 2, Watford 0.
Excellent. Love it. People that sit around me know I love a little bet on the corners for Millwall occasionally at the Den. I think my prediction for this weekend is 3-1 Millwall, but my bet, if you anyone wants to jump on it too with me, is Millwall to win the first half and over 3 Millwall corners in the first half. It's going to be barnstorming out the doors and plenty of fucking up and out of them, I think. And I think we're going to win Saturday. And
you're going to put Cooper any time on as well.
I might do Cooper any time too. There's corners involved. Who knows? They might not be anticipating that. I fancy us. I think goals from set pieces, we're going to be up and out. We're not going to play wingers per se. You've got Honeyman on the right there, but we're going to be up and down them flags. 4-4-2 typical Mill performance. And I hope we get it. I hope we get the result we want.
Sorry, Mark. Is it 4-4?
Fucking two.
That's it. Sorry.
I think that's the show title, hopefully, if we're allowed to put that on there. But I'll have to have
we could put asterisks, couldn't you?
Not the Millwall.
See how long we can go before we get taken down then. Yeah.
Excellent. Well, chaps, that's a great show. Thanks for joining me today. Appreciate it. If you're new around here, and like I said, if you're not familiar with us, be sure to subscribe, like the video. Let us know what you think. What's your score predictions for the weekend? What's the score going to be? Are we going to get a typical Mill and lose, or are we going to get a barnstorm Mill and win the game quite comfortably? Dan, thanks for coming on today, mate. Appreciate it.
Cheers, mate. Thank you very much. And to everyone who's going to be listening to it, happy extra day of the year.
Yeah. I don't know if we're going to put it out tomorrow, now you said that.
Yeah, typical. Well, if you're listening to this on the 29th of February, then happy extra New Year Day.
Yeah, are you hoping for someone to propose to you, isn't it? The women propose on leap year, right? So that's the joke, isn't it?
Not for me, mate, not for me.
he loves his football too much.
Yeah.
And trains.
Straight to the football, then we're talking.
Yeah. Nice one to you, Joe, for coming on as well.
Yeah, cheers for having us, mate, and really enjoyed tonight. It was good topic of discussion. And let's go for it. Let's field a Den out on Saturday. Let's create the atmosphere we've created against Southampton and really fucking back the players. You know, Neil Harris is there. The place is going to be rocking. We want to hear status quo at the end. We want to come away with a win, nothing less, and let's fucking do it.
I don't think I need to add anything else to that. Thanks for watching, guys. I'm going to speak to you soon.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.